This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya.
I got a nice email here from a person in the chat. I think I can say who this is. It's our pal Josh here. Known as Branjo in the chat. Now, I don't recall. Maybe we did discuss this in the past. Because a lot of what I do and say, it goes in my brain and then it leaves my brain. But Josh decided that he wanted to quit drinking. He writes, subject line, booze-free 1 year. Had we talked about this, Josh? Did we like have a discussion? Because I'm not exactly the type who, when someone says, EZ, help me get sober, that I go, well, I can't really, I can only tell you what worked for me and offer, you know, suggestions. There's really, I'm not much of the let me lead you to the promised land, because it has to be you, you know? I did try that a few times. Doesn't work. Branjo says, yeah, a few months ago, briefly. I didn't ask for help, but I talked about it. Hey, buddy, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm just dropping a line to humble brag on myself for officially being 1 year booze free. Honestly, I'm a little bit conflicted in how I feel because I had a much easier time than I thought I would. And some of the people I know. Pause. Yeah, I had that same thing. I've had a harder time like eating right than I did quitting booze. I honestly don't recall ever like having like white knuckle moments where I was like just barely hanging on. Like I go to these AA meetings and some of these guys, it's like, holy shit. They've been through the fucking ringer. Every day is a goddamn war. And I'm like, oh, shit, I definitely didn't have that happen. He says, for example, I've talked to people who can't even have mouthwash in their house. Thankfully, I didn't get a DUI or anything like that, but I could see it becoming a problem. But you and I are very similar, and I'm glad I was able to quit fairly easily. My drinking had come to the point where I was drinking multiple mixed drinks a day, and it was affecting how my wife felt about me. Carbon copy of what I had. Except for I drank Busch. Ugh. The only time I really miss drinking is when I'm on an airplane. Because there's literally nothing I can do from an airplane if someone needed me. While it may have been easier for me to stop at the beginning, the thought of going just one day without drinking made me incredibly anxious. How was I going to relax after a long day? What about all my work functions where alcohol is readily available? Stand by. I made the decision last year to not get rid of my booze, the booze in my house, since my wife can have a drink once a week responsibly, and I knew I would never be in a temptation-free environment with my work. I just want to tell others that if booze has become an issue, your life can definitely get better without it. It's like you've said before, it's an hour at a time, it's an afternoon at a time, then it snowballs into a week and then multiple weeks. You just got to keep that in mind, like our buddy Jeremy, who's, you know, on this whole diet thing. My work is better, I'm a better husband and father, and if I can dedicate myself to exercising, I'll be in good shape. Ha ha. I've taken away the bad thing in my life, and now I need to add good things. Thanks for the podcast. I appreciate you. Looking forward to the show today, says Josh Branjo. Yeah, everybody's different, and however it works for you, just keep doing that. You don't need to make this any more complex than what you've already been successful at. Same thing for a guy like Jeremy. Sometimes, though, we overthink, and then shit gets fucked up. We're like, oh, God, what did I do? That can happen, you know. And I can't even imagine it. I don't even get even the slightest bit of temptation ever when it comes to alcohol. And, you know, I go for spells where I'm alone for significant time. Like, if you're thinking about it, up north at Fear Bunker North, there isn't anyone around me for a mile. Completely isolated. I could get so shit-faced if I wanted to. Sitting by the fire, cool night. Wouldn't it be great to just pop a couple? Yeah. Now, a couple of Newports. Now we're talking. Oh, my God. But even that isn't an issue. It's just when I'm by the fire. You're up north, you want to suck on a fag, a cigarette. You know, that's what the British people call those. I know I do. All right. Jeremy says it's way easier to focus on 2 pounds a week than 50 pounds in a year, one at a time. Stay the course. Corey says, someone please clip that. Got to make it through. All right. We've got another former church pastor who is up to no good.
New tonight, a former.
That keeps starting. An asshole. State of Michigan. This guy, wait till you see this pedo.
Pastor in Brighton, who was arrested for putting a hidden camera in a church bathroom, has pleaded guilty.
Okay. Every time you see the mugshot, by the way, he has no shirt on. He couldn't look more pedo-like. Now, I want you people that have big, giant beards on your face, I want you to think about this. This is what you look like. Like Jeremy here, he's lost all that weight. You got to lose that fucking beard. What's enjoyable about that hair on your face?
For putting a hidden.
And you look like this guy. Side note, this news anchor is probably 89 years old and he doesn't have a gray hair on his head. What a dye job. Look how unnatural that looks.
Arrested for putting a hidden camera in a church bathroom, has pleaded guilty. 38-year-old Pastor Will Johnson was charged back in September with possession of child sexually abusive material, surveilling an unclothed person, and using a computer to commit a crime. The hidden camera was found by a staff member inside of a non-public unisex bathroom in the backstage area of 242 Community Church in Brighton. Johnson confessed to placing the camera in the bathroom to secretly record people. His sentencing is set for May 22nd. He could face a maximum of 20 years in prison.
All right, so Pastor Johnson's in trouble. Yesterday we had the local guy, local businessman, who was in charge of Tulip Time. He was going from place to place doing upskirt shots, trying to get beaver shots of chicks. My God. Have you ever wondered if you've ever been on a camera in a bathroom? I'm guessing that we all have at some point. There has been some place where someone decided to put a hidden camera. Oh, my God. There are so many creeps in the world. Corey says, didn't Patriot Nick look like that? He absolutely looked like that. You guys got to shave those fucking beards. I'm telling you, this is an intervention, Jeremy. Now, being that you're only down to like 242, I mean, you still have work to do. When the time comes for you to reach out and discover your next soulmate, and you have already improved yourself so much as we are knocking on the door of 100 pounds lost. In another year, you're going to be jacked, chiseled muscle. Okay? It's going to be like, take your pick of the hottest chicks that exist. However, if you don't shave that beard, or at least make it look less like you're a fucking carny, you're going to fuck it all up. All this work is going to be for naught. Like sometimes I see on commercials online, guys who have like spectacularly manicured beards. I mean, motherfuck. You will be able to pull the best tail or dick. I don't know what you're into. I guess it depends. Well, I'm just saying you should think about that. Okay? There are women that appreciate a disaster beard like you have, but you don't want those women, okay? You can still have the beard as long as it looks like super, super fantastic and cleaned up. Now, I don't know, maybe you were mauled by a dog and you have like a huge, you know, whatever, fucked up face, but Jesus Christ. These two were walking around in Traverse City, Michigan. And this guy was, this is north of the hard living line. And the guy fell in quicksand. Let's see if I can get a good image of it. Here you go. See this guy? This is on Lake Michigan shoreline. And I didn't even know that this existed. The quicksand sucked this guy down. And they thought he was going to die. Like it was going to be like the scene from old school Gilligan's Island. When you fall into the quicksand. They're not sure exactly how it came to be. It might have to do with some type of dredging going on. But he just fell right in the hole. It's unclear why the sand gave away under dude. Speculated he was walking in an area where sand from the harbor dredging had been deposited and it was not stable. God, I would like to think that I'd have the ability to squirm my way out of that. But this guy, he said he could not get out of that at all. He hit a soft pocket where maybe the sand didn't settle. We've never seen an incident like this. So they had to call like the rescue crews. And then this chick here, she couldn't get cell service. So it was a difficult thing to able to get the rescue crews there. And then they eventually the crew showed up and they got these two out. And I guess they became a couple after this, like something came out of it. Like they were just there as friends. And then after this big rescue, they decided that they needed to make their own gravy. And you know that they are making their own gravy. I mean, come on now. These two right here. Yeah. All right. Congratulations. Glad you're dating now. What a first date. Okay. Glad they're okay, but Jesus Christ, be careful out there. Corey says they totally fucked. Jeremy says, I'm going to start looking for a straightener to get the ZZ Top look going. Okay, so you love that beard. What is it about the beard that you like? Because to me, that's a defect in a person's brain. I mean, a clean-shaven face is the way to go. Anytime, like, I'm touching my face and I can feel any type of stubble, I right away feel like a loser. You know, like I'm a homeless idiot. But you have so much more than that. What is it about the beard that is like, man, I love myself? Okay? What is it about looking like a monster that makes you go, God damn it, this is great. This is the way I want to look. I don't understand it. Piano Finger Banger says, if you're a male under 40 in Nashville, Tennessee, it's a requirement to have a beard and a full sleeve tattoo. Eh, whatever. Where I live, there is a trial that a lot of people are going to be following. And it's the trial of a guy who is a cop. He was a cop. He's no longer a cop. And stand by. His name is Chris Scherr, and he's on trial for murder. And this was the case where Grand Rapids Police Department, he pulls a guy over, and the guy is, his name is Patrick Lioia. And one thing leads to another, and the guy tries to run away. The cop keeps him from running away. The cop pulls his taser on the guy to get him to stop. He's one of these people that the taser doesn't affect him. So then they're wrestling, and there's video of this. I'm not going to show it, but there's body cam video, and there's video from the guy who was the passenger in the car. It's bad. And you see the cop trying to get him to stop, and he's not winning. And it isn't long before the guy is face down, but still able, the motorist, Lioia, is able to grab the taser on the cop. And you can hear the cop saying, let go of my taser, let go of my taser. And the cop is struggling on him. And then the next thing you know, the cop pulls out his gun, and you actually see the cop put the gun to the back of the guy's head and shoot him, and he's dead. Well, it's been 3 years, and they are finally selecting a jury for this case. I don't know why the fuck this has taken so long. Those fighting for justice say Christopher Scherr, the former GRPD officer charged with murder in the death of Patrick Lioia in April of 2022, should have faced justice much sooner. So that's the argument, too, and I think that's a legit argument. Why in the world is it taking 3 years for this to go down? Now, I will say this.
Once this trial...
Before this started, I wasn't convinced that he was going to be guilty. And then when I saw the video, I am now convinced that this guy is absolutely guilty. I mean, my God, you see him shoot the guy in the back of the fucking head.
Trial starts We want all the ducks in a row.
It's been 3 years since we first spoke to Cooley Law School Professor Emeritus Lewis Lingham about the case. I interviewed the former Michigan State Police detective as people protested the shooting outside GRPD the day they released body cam video of the incident. Those fighting for justice say sure, should have faced justice much sooner. But legal experts like Professor Lingham say it's taken this long for a reason.
So it can go from beginning to end, let the jury make final determination based upon all evidence and testimony, and not have to worry about revisiting this case again on some legal technicality. But
first up is jury.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Jury selection. Simple questions to weed out large chunks of candidates.
Do you have any connections with law enforcement? Do you have any contacts, relationships, friendships with anyone on the prosecution side, the defense side?
Sometimes a legal team may want someone who has no prior knowledge of a case, but that's not always possible or even necessary.
It's not the test. The test is whether or not you can maintain your impartiality and whether or not you can listen to all the testimony.
This guy's got a hairline
all
like
the evidence. And make a decision based only upon that evidence and testimony and not about anything you may or may not have heard about this case.
Lingham says the legal teams will likely break down the entire traffic stop up to the struggle
There's
for
the
taser.
Of the traffic stop.
But he suggests it may ultimately come down to one question for the jury.
And whether or not a reasonable officer in that same situation would have also felt that they needed to fire their weapon to either protect their life or to prevent great bodily harm from occurring.
The state has the burden of proof to show a reasonable officer would not have fired their weapon. But Lingham says the defense may have more of an uphill battle, considering the nature of the case, public perception, and the length of time since the incident.
The objective is to move from here to here throughout the trial and move slightly above the prosecutor's evidence and witnesses that are going to testify in these proceedings.
It's a crapshoot when you're in a jury trial like that. I mean, I don't know. I just know people who do this for a living, like lawyers and whatnot. I just don't see, with that evidence being shown in court of the video, how this guy is not convicted. I really don't. We shall see. There's a video I wanted that just popped in my brain that I sent to myself that I need to show you of from inside the NBA with Shaq. Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, and what's the white guy's name? Fuck, I don't know. But Shaq has to take a dump. They're in a conversation, and all of a sudden, Shaq gets up to take a dump.
Underestimate the other thing about Kawhi is, you know, what I...
You all right, big fella?
You all right? No. Catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. We're on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know.
Hey, take some matches with you.
Okay, so he just got up to take a dump.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it. After 40, he can't hold it no more.
That's a first.
He can't hold it.
Unless,
he's got no something. After 40.
That wasn't something planned, was it?
No,
that was
not planned. Hey,
Ernie Johnson.
He was in the back talking about he's going to drink alcohol to clear up his
gut. No, he's been drinking olive oil.
You know what? Olive oil to clean his gut. It's cleaning his gut. All right.
I did not like his gait as he left. That was not a typical walk right there.
He's holding it in as he walks out.
You read somewhere if you drink a shot of olive oil.
I saw them doing that the other day in the makeup room.
They've been doing it. They've been doing it. They're going to do it. You have to do it for 2 weeks.
You're going to miss a lot of airtime then.
Hey, listen. I just hope we got enough matches around here.
Please turn his mic off. That's all.
That's another issue.
Hey, somebody go get some lighters.
Oh my God!
All right. Yeah, let's.
You can't even. You can't.
How
even
do we segue from that?
You can't even make. You can't even.
No,
can't
that's. Even
now I don't think he had to take a dump. I think he had to pee, but they thought he had to take a dump.
What I was going to say about Kawhi, Ernie, as before he goes, we need to get the thing. He reminds. Oh, here he is. So
they're showing the replay of Shaq.
I see that face, it's a serious look.
I can feel it.
God, if you're listening to the audio podcast, you must watch this.
Number one, drinking that water.
Linking it up. Okay. Now he's back.
Hey, listen, man, drinking that water.
Drinking that water, huh?
Chuck, stop talking so damn much.
What do you mean?
Finish your point so we can go to break.
Nah. We waiting on you, fool.
I'm sitting here like, shut the hell up and hurry up.
Okay, he had to pee.
Number one, right?
Okay. Thanks for sharing.
They thought he had to take a dump. Oh, that's fantastic. Shaq's walk is more interesting than the game. Man Bun Chris says their show is the best. And then he adds, that didn't look like a pee walk. The Pistons are in the playoffs, our very own Detroit Pistons. I only know one guy on the team, two. One guy named Isaiah Stewart and a guy named Cade Cunningham. I don't know who the coach is. I don't know anything about him. All I know is that they're pretty good this year. The first team in the history of the NBA to triple their win total from the previous year.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2008. Game two of their series with the Knicks, they lost game one. And last night they won in New York. Series is tied at a game apiece. They haven't won since 2008, so that's how many years? That's almost 20 years. And that's the longest losing streak in the playoffs in the history of the league. Now, the league itself is shit. We all know that. But I am interested when the home team wins. There is not a fair weather. I am the fair weather fan. If the teams in Michigan do well, I love them. All right? With the exception of Michigan and Michigan State. Because Michigan State loves rape. Michigan, every fan is a douchebag. That's why I don't like those two schools. Those two schools can fuck off. So if either of those schools does well, I don't give a fuck. All fair weather fan, except for the Lions. Always root for the Lions. The rest of them, I don't give a shit either, unless they're winning. That is the way you have to be. That's the only way to be a successful sports fan. Okay? Don't start wasting your time paying attention to any of these shithead teams until they start to actually win. You know, that's how I look at all this. Thank you to Chris. He always sends me something good. And he wrote, easy, the Shaq story is a good way to bring up some Code Brown moments. I haven't really told this story, I don't think, in its entirety ever. But I remember the very first time as an adult that I had a Code Brown. The first time I had a Code Brown, and I was 18 years old. And I remember this like it was yesterday. And I think because of the unwillingness to tell it was because of how gross this is. I've told many Code Brown stories over the years, and you've heard them all, except this one. But it's 100% true, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. The year was 1988. I had started at Central Michigan University. It might have been even 1989 at this point. The school year went 88 to 89. I was working in the production studio for the Radio Lab. So you got reel-to-reel tapes and an old-school board, and everything's old. And I'm seated at the console, no one else around, and I can feel trouble in my gut. And so it's fart gambling time. Now, I know something bad has happened, but I'm not 100% sure what. It may be just a fart. It might be relegated, if it is more than a fart, to that zone, what I call the Rorschach zone, in between my cheeks. Like if I sat down on a piece of paper, it would look like that thing when you were a kid. You put paint on one side and you fold it in half, and then it looks like a butterfly. It's that, but shit. Most people would go, uh-oh, and get up and go into the bathroom to see if it's contained in the ass cheeks or if you touch cloth. And then act accordingly to clean yourself up. But not me. No, this is the first time this has happened. What I did is horrible. In one quick motion, I whipped around with my right hand and went down the back of my pants, my acid wash jeans, and stuck my hand right into my asshole zone. And I knew for a fact then that I had shit my pants, because now the shit is on my hand. And I'll never forget, as I pulled my hand out, and it's right at this exact spot, the shit, the very hot liquid, is beginning to fall off of my fingers. All right? And so I see that, and I go, and I like flung my hand, and the shit flew off my hand. And you know, like there's those windows in the studios when they say so-and-so behind the glass, the shit hit the glass and now it's running down. It's still on my hand. So now that all happened. So then I'm like, holy fuck, I've got shit on my hand. And so there's only one thing left to do, and that is smell it. And that's all I remember from that incident. I don't remember. I can only assume that at that point, I then ran to the bathroom, which is what I should have done in the first place, and scrubbed my hand and threw the underwear out. I think I actually do remember that. I do remember throwing the underwear out. And but I mean, it was a bad day at that point. There is no more working in the lab. I'm sure you're probably wondering, did you clean up the window? I don't recall. I'm guessing I did. There are no more details that are in my brain from this traumatic moment. And that's exactly what this was. What a disaster. Yes. Terrific Code Brown story. Never been told before. Molly said, did you smear shit on the cabinets like the NFK? I would say that's worse, frankly. But it was inadvertent. And so is the ones he does. But my God. Awful. Your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns on this horrific revelation are always welcome in the comments. Stand by. Chris says, my favorite was the white pants at the arena. All right, got to tell that one too. Halfway to the hockey arena in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it happened. I'm like, oh my God. I'm going to either be late or miss or figure it out. I get to the rink. I'm able to tell that I've got a brown streak going down the pants. So it's left my asshole. It's left my cheeks. It's gone through the... I'm sitting in it. It's gone through the underwear. It's gone through the pants. And it's I've shit my pants. I get to the parking structure. I had this pullover on. It was like a league warm-up with like the logo on it. I took it off and tied it around my waist. Like, yeah. Who doesn't do this? I sneak my way through the front doors of the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. Still there to this day. They still play hockey there. I go into the locker room. I walk past the team. I get to the showers, and it's a type of shower where there's like a shower with like several heads all the way around it. And I take off my pants, my shoes, and my socks and washed my asshole. I hung the pants up, threw the underwear away. Now I have to put on, and players are witnessing this. Now I have to put on shit-covered pants. This is such a mistake. I should have just gone home and made up any... I should have said I got hit by a car. Or I was in an accident. I could have said anything. I could have said, why don't you, can you, yeah, I could have just said, hey, I just shit my pants. I'm going to be late because I shit my pants. That would have been acceptable. But no, I cannot believe I went through with this. I put the shit pants back on and put that pullover around my waist. Now, all I've done is alleviated my own comfort level. I don't have shit in my asshole anymore, but I'm sitting in shit pants. Buzz Perinello is seated next to me. He's at the scorer's table. And he goes, man, I've been smelling this. Has someone been farting? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, oh my God, I smell it too. Did you fart, Dave? Oh, you fuck. Oh my God, fucking asshole. Like trying to lay blame. Buzz now runs the, his daughter runs the hockey team that's there right now in Knoxville. And he's still associate. He's an older guy now, but he was like younger, a little bit older than me back then. Yeah. He witnessed it, but I never said to him, hey, man, I shit my pants. That's what you're smelling is my shit. I sat there in it, into my own shit pants for the whole game and then made it home. That was it. So bad. Thank you. Ben wrote, when I was telling the story about when I stuck my hand down my pants and pulled out my shit wad, you stuck your hand down and got fudge and ate it. That's the only thing I didn't do is I didn't eat it. Pretty close, though. Goddamn. Okay. This clip is going viral. It says, holy shit, there is nothing that can prepare you for when they cut to the interview. Something happened. I think there was an accident. And the two witnesses that saw it are twins. and they tell the story at the same time. They're so twins that they almost talk at the exact same time. And it says that right there. Holy shit, there is nothing that can prepare you for when they cut to the interview here. And that's 100% right. What the fuck is going on in this clip?
Witnesses are recounting some of the drama that unfolded on the Sunshine Coast this afternoon. Two sisters have told how their mother and man raced to help when the carjacked SUV rolled on Steve Irwin Way, only to find the gun wheel...
Obviously, this is Australia. Steve Irwin Way.
...then car thief emerging from the wreck. Here's some of what they had to say.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there.
Okay, they're dressed identically. They look identical. They are identical. Same everything. Same clothes, same jewelry, same hair. Sound the same. Finishing the goddamn sentences. What the fuck?
He was coming back down towards us. And he goes, run. He's got a gun. And our hearts started to pound. Down. And I said, oh, Mum, where's Mum? And but poor mum was stuck up there. But apparently,
this has got to be a bit, right?
Our brave mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you.
Okay, if I'm the reporter, I don't know if I say, okay, just explain this to me. We no longer care about the gunman threatening people who went to help after the crash, after the Sunshine Coast carjacking chaos. We are only interested in you two now.
You? She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
And mum distracting him to make him look the other way. And he looked the other way. And mum ran into the bush
behind the
fence.
And the guy goes to her, I'll find you and I'll shoot you. All I was thinking about when we were running,
I hope he doesn't fire.
Yeah, we were... So blessed.
How close to him do you think you were?
Well, see, he was up there and we were past our
when
you driveway.
You don't think of all of that at the time.
No.
You just run for your safety. Life.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. What the fuck is going on with that? No one really cares what happened in that story. We're only interested in what is going on with those two. Do you think they've ever plowed the same guy? Jesus. Molly says, I got pulled over for driving recklessly trying to get off the highway. I shit myself. Couldn't pull my insurance up and got a $10 ticket. Yeah, God. David asks, what the fuck is going on with these two? Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to think that this is fake. Stand by. Jesus. Outstanding. All right. I was just reading that the Secretary of State, I'm sorry, Department of Health, no, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem got her purse along with her money and access badge stolen at a D.C. restaurant. I don't know what it is with this current administration, but the cabinet positions seem to be very sloppy.
Hey, O'Neill, you all right?
Very, very sloppy. You've got, there was now a second incident on the Signal app with Pete Hegseth or whatever the fuck his name is, revealing war plans. And now Kristi Noem gets her purse stolen. I can't say for sure if that was her fault or anything. I would like to give her benefit of the doubt because she is so damn hot. The U.S. Secret Service has launched an investigation to try to get to the bottom of it. Corey says these people are all fuck-ups. I don't know if I can say that. I know I can't say that about Gnome. She's going to have to, like, slaughter an infant for me to even consider saying anything bad about her. She was at a restaurant in D.C. A thief grabbed the purse from the restaurant in downtown Washington on Sunday night. The unknown suspect got away with all of that important information. She had about $3,000 in cash in the wallet. Why in the world would you have $3,000 in cash? Who the fuck carries $3,000 in cash these days? Officials said they're trying to determine if any of the financial documents were used. And they're trying to find out who did it. Can you imagine if it's a Mexican immigrant, like, in the country illegally? What they'll turn this into? Oh, my God. We can only pray that it is a white guy who did it. That's all we can hope for. Actually, I take it back. I want it to be a Mexican guy, just so we can see the circus that's going to go along with this. Cole suggests that she had just accepted some type of bribe. Wolverine Bronco says, don't forget, Gnome is the puppy killer. Yeah, how did that go again? I forgot why she killed the dog. I think the dog jumped on someone or something like that, or the dog, like, whined, or the dog was begging for a treat, and so she just pulled out her pistol and shot the dog. Piano Fingerbanger says, Secretary of Homeland Security, she can't even keep her own bags secure. I don't think that's fair. That's not fair at all. Somebody steals your shit, they steal your shit. Come on now. All I know is she went to that prison in El Salvador and she had the baseball hat on, and she is, I don't know, there are some women who look so damn hot in a baseball hat. If I was married to Christy Gnome, I would say you have to wear the baseball hat all the time. And I don't care that you shoot dogs. All right. I don't want to be around you when you shoot the dogs, but don't, you know, it's cool. Corey says, Tulsi Gabbard isn't bad for an older lady. You're not kidding. She's fucking stellar. Rebecca says she's entitled to Secret Service. Where were they? I don't know. We don't care. All we know is that that beautiful woman is in distress, and she deserves our compassion and our sympathy in trying to deal with this horrible thing. All right? Now, if she looked like fuck, no compassion, no sympathy. But until then, until that happens, if she turns ugly for some reason, then perhaps we'll give her a little bit more scrutiny. But she gets a pass on looks alone. And that's the way of the world. Corey writes, ugly people and cripples are not cool. Exactly. There's no place in this world for the ugly people. Thank you to my pal, Frank Fuss. If you are in need of healthcare on the marketplace, you need to call upon Frank Fuss from anywhere in the U.S. Go to buyinsurancehere.com and he will help you with healthcare.gov. That could be you if you're in between jobs. Perhaps you're self-employed, or perhaps your boss does not offer you insurance. You can get your healthcare through the marketplace. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. Fill out the form and begin the process that way. I've got a realtor of choice on the show. It is Adam Kasari, 32 years old, single and ready to mingle. Driver of the 9K car, limited late model at Berlin Raceway. If you need a realtor, this is who you call. 616-914-4061. That number again is 616-914-4061 for Adam Casari, C-A-S-A-R-I, Realty. When you buy that house, I'm asking you to call upon the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage to get your home financed. You can call from anywhere in the U.S., 231-332-6505. That's 231-332-6505. I think I left the cap off of my marker, and that's not a good thing. Squeak, squeak. All right. The asshole of the day is brought to you by TC Paintball. The Christy Gnome purse thief is the asshole of the day. Congratulations to you. You've earned it. Thank you to you for being part of the show. And I will talk to you on the Patreon bonus podcast a little bit later on. Time to refuel, regroup, and take some medicine. Till the Patreon. Have a good one, folks. Thank you so much, and bye-bye.